scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke. As we go through the Lenten season, what we're doing is moving closer and closer to Jerusalem and to the crucifixion. And so today what we read is an episode in Jesus' life as he is basically looking at Jerusalem and what is going on there. And we see his heart basically broken in these moments. Let's listen to our scripture from the Gospel of Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.'" And then he says this, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God help us today to take to heart this scripture and to put it to practice in our lives. Has anyone here ever driven from here to BC through the mountains or taken a train through the mountains? Most of us have at some point in time. And at some point in time, what's going to happen is you are going to encounter a tunnel going through. You can't avoid it, right? You are driving or going on the train, you're going to go through a tunnel. And you enter into the beautiful scenery of the mountains, into the darkness of the tunnel, and come out on the other side of the tunnel into the most magnificent beauty, I think, you can see on earth. It's spectacular, the light of the other side. But as you're going into the tunnel, have you ever thought this? You will now. That going under the tunnel, you are covered by billions of tons of rock that could crush you at any time. Yes, no problem. But you also know that to get to the beauty on the other side, you're just going to have to go through the tunnel. It's all there is to it if you want to get over there. You must accept the risk, the darkness, the danger, the tunnel, in order to get across to something that is spectacularly beautiful. It's kind of like our lives. Sometimes, to get to the best that life has to offer, we must move through the dark places into something more spectacularly beautiful. As painful as it is, that is what we do. And if we refuse to do that, we are also refusing the lessons that are learned in the darkness that will get us through to something more beautiful. That is the Lenten journey. Last week, I introduced you to the notion that we cannot experience light in our lives until we have embraced and wrestled with the questions, the doubts, the challenges and fears that grip us in the dark, in the quiet moments when we have nothing else to distract us in our lives. In the midst of breathless activity and chaos of daily life, we are hardly able to address those areas in our lives that hinder our growth. But it is in the darkness, the stillness, the withdrawal from our busy lives that we engage in a different kind of activity, in contemplation. And there we encounter the questions, the doubts, the challenges that sometimes plague us. It is also here, in these times, that we find the courage to live the lives that we were made for. And here, in this space, we encounter ourselves and invite the Holy Spirit to penetrate deep into our hearts and souls to transform our lives. Without these moments of darkness, of silence, of time to enter into the deepest places of our lives, we are in danger, in fact, of losing our way and losing our meaning. We have to do them. We have to go there. Because when we enter into the darkness, we enter into places of new beginnings. Last week we looked at loneliness and the necessity of loneliness. For in loneliness we need to look at new ways to be in this world. We look at new ways of helping others. For in loneliness we're not looking for somebody to meet our needs. In loneliness we are looking for the opportunity to meet other needs. And that is the antidote to loneliness. Today we explore another challenge that assails us in our quiet moments. And that is the challenge of regret. You know the old song Paul Anka wrote? Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I think most of us have had more than a few. Sometimes in the darkness, in the cover and the stillness of darkness, we are assailed with feelings of remorse and guilt over the things we've either done or not done. We wallow in the angst of what ifs. Now, I'm not talking about those silly little things we do as youth that all youth do in the learning process. We need to do those things. But I'm talking about the kind of regrets, you know, we all have them, where you really wish you'd have made a different choice in those moments, and you could have made a different choice. I occasionally go to them myself. Ones like, I wish I had lived closer to my parents and pushed harder for a diagnosis for my dad and treatment. He might still be alive today. I wish. What if I had worked a little harder in some of my relationships? What if I hadn't spent so much time and money on frivolous pursuits? Or what if I had taken better care of my health? What if I'd taken more risks with my life? I wish. I wish. Substitute your own regrets, because we all have them. You can't get through life without them. We actually need them, in fact. We need to have regrets. Most of us, having lived a few years, have a pretty good list. So I was looking up some regrets online this week, and you don't know how many there are. There are a lot. But there are some themes around our regrets, and here are some of the more common themes. Working too much at the expense of our families and our relationships. Lots. Not standing up to bullies in our work, in our relationships, in our schools. Not staying in touch with some people from our past that we really would like to still have a relationship with. Worrying about what others thought of us too much. Not having enough confidence in ourselves when we were younger. Living the lives that our parents wanted us to live rather than living what we wanted to live. Not applying for that dream job I always wanted. Being a little happier and a little less serious. Not to take life quite so seriously all the time is a regret. Gone on trips, letting our marriages break down, teaching our kids to do more stuff, making peace with a family member or friend, not asking that girl or boy out when you really wanted to, not getting the education I wanted because I played it safe. spending more time with people, choosing a practical job over the one I really wanted, not taking care of my health when I had a chance, not visiting somebody before they died, not learning another language, taking more risks, you name it. There are a number of risks or a number of things that we did or didn't do that we regret now. We're all busy. We have busy lives. Life happens. There's always lots to distract us from getting around to the certain things we know we should or could have done. In the back of our minds, though, we know we're neglecting some stuff that we should have done or should be doing. We just never get around to it. Who here has had that experience of thinking, I should have visited that person, and I didn't, and now they're gone? Almost it did that yesterday, in fact. But things happen in our lives, and we don't get around to it until perhaps a good friend or a loved one, maybe close to us in age, drops dead suddenly. And we begin to think about what our biggest regrets would be if we were suddenly on our deathbed. Here's the thing about regrets. When they come up, and they do, we can let them sit like a lump in our guts, allowing ourselves to feel like we have not lived up to our potential. We can feel remorse. We can throw a little pity party for ourselves at what we didn't do. Or they can spur us toward doing something now to move our lives forward toward the best lives we can live in the time that we have. Did Jesus have regrets? He was human. Couldn't relate to us unless he was human. Perhaps a sense of not having done what he would have liked to have done. The passage I just read suggests to me that he did have regrets. Here he is moving along to Jerusalem. He's healing and teaching and delivering people. And he's confronted by some Pharisees who say, don't go that direction. Herod's out to get you. And he says, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I have other things to do. I want to get things done. I have a purpose. I'm going to move towards Jerusalem. But we see this little phrase in there, just a very little tiny sentence basically in the passage that says, as he stands looking at Jerusalem and where he is going to, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I longed to gather you up in my arms like a mother hen gathers her chicks under the wings. And I couldn't do it. You didn't let me. I didn't get a chance. And in that moment, I hear that little tinge of regret. He was not able to do what he so desired to do with his life. He didn't touch those people. He didn't move those people. And he was sad and he was disappointed that he hadn't got to do what he felt he was called to do. And yet this moment of regret doesn't stop him from moving resolutely toward Jerusalem, to continue to live and die trying to do the things and bring about the change in the world that he so wanted to do, and to do it with passion and purpose. This, friends, is the light in the darkness, the antidote to our regret. To take those moments when we are sad and disappointed with ourselves and what we were able to do, to take those moments of regret in our lives and to transform them. For that's what regret serves to do for us. I think God built regret into our lives for that very reason, to teach us the lessons as to how we can change what we thought we should have done in the past and move it towards something that we could be doing in the future, to live better lives, to be transformed. I have great suspicion for people who say, I have no regrets. For we all have regrets. They're great teachers. Anybody who doesn't have a regret is either one of two things. They're either narcissists. They think they're perfect already. or they haven't done the exploration of their lives, the digging into their lives that they need to dig into, because we need to do that in order to be better for the future. We experience regret when we are able to look at our lives honestly and admit that we have not always been the people we'd like to be. Our regrets teach us, tell us that we need to make adjustments, realignments, forge new ways of being, to do and be better now, to be present to our lives, and to live each day well. The question is, are we going to change anything this afternoon or tomorrow in light of our list of regrets? Or are we going to go back to our busy lives and ignore the lessons that they offer? We will have opportunities in our lives to make up for our past. That is God's grace to us. We are always given tomorrow until there are no more. And so we can take the lessons from what we have learned and move towards a new tomorrow. A couple years ago, in 2013, when we had the flood, and High River was so hard hit, and we had the opportunity to house people in our building on a second floor. And I confess, and this is a huge, almost regret for me, I almost blocked our putting people into the second floor, because I chose to say we should play it safe. Maybe we shouldn't take that risk. Thank God that there were other people around who said, yes, we should. Yes, we should do it. We should take the risk. And we did, thank goodness. Not due to me, I will admit. It's a huge regret. But other people had the wisdom to say we should be doing it. We have an opportunity now to do something for another family. I don't want us to regret not having done all we could to look after a family. I know we have families in Canada who are in need, but they're not going to die in the desert or die in a boat going across an ocean like these people are dying. We have an opportunity now to help a refugee family, and a number of community partners have come along to do it with us. It's going to be a risk. We're going to put them in our building, but we have this opportunity. I don't want us to pass up opportunities in the future because we're not willing to take the risk. We wanted to play it safe. It's not our call as Christians to be safe. It is our call to care and tend for people. So I'm going to invite Wendy Traverse to come forward to share with us what we can do to make this venture a reality. Wendy is going to be working with Jody to give some leadership to our refugee team. So welcome. Thanks, Wendy.
Today I'm going to kind of partner with Jody. She's not here today, so I'm going to speak to you about the refugee family that we've decided to sponsor. We're going to take that risk to love, to reach out, to help. I've always been a risk taker. I make myself vulnerable all the time. And I'm okay with that because I always end up on my feet like a cat. Somehow, some way, that's how I end up. And I know it's through God's love and grace and mercy. When Jody decided to lead this, I said, I'm on board. I'm on board because my heart has been broken many times. I know cruelty. I know meanness. I'm a redhead, so of course, I'm a rebel. We have a chance here to bring a family that is in such need. We don't know them. I don't know them. But I'm going to be the voice today. The first thing at hand is to partner with other people, this congregation and two other congregations, Red Deer and Turner Valley. I've been to Red Deer once. It's a wonderful...
Sorry, it's just up the road. Red Deer Lake, not Red Deer.
Red Deer Lake. Yes, sorry. Red Deer Lake. I've lived in so many different places, I kind of half the names. Anyway, Red Deer Lake, and they're a wonderful congregation. I haven't met them yet, but I'll meet them on Tuesday morning. And the two tasks at hand is to come up with some fundraising. And the immediate number is $4,250. If everybody gave today $35, which we're not asking for everyone today to give $35, we would come up with the money immediately. So we're asking for you to pray about it. If you need or want to talk to me, I'll be out at the table to answer any questions. You can donate today or pray about it and see if you need to go get some more resources to give money. And we also need to supply the apartment with furniture, obviously food, clothing, all the needs that the family will need. And there'll be other fundraising beyond the $4,000 that we'll need to come up with ideas to make money for. And Jody Connors will be the contact, and the insert in your bulletin will tell you all the information that you need to know and who to contact. But if you need to talk to someone or want to talk to someone today, I'll be the person for today. And I think, is that all we need to discuss today?
List on the back, because you're signing the list on the back.
Oh, yes. And the number of people that we need is many, and we need the welcoming team, the fundraising team, the communication representative. We'll need someone to kind of help them get acclimated to the Okotoks. We're going to need people to help clean up, as I said, the apartment, and we're going to need people to drive them around. So there's many opportunities to serve immediately with money, fundraising, and then throughout the year we're going to be sort of supporting them for a year. So they're going to need to set up housing and find doctors and find out where the grocery store is. And so we're going to need your help. So I ask you to pray and ask God what your support will be, and I'm sure we'll have them welcomed and acclimated to the community soon.
So you do have what we can do now, and we have committed to the board here that we will not even apply for a family until we have half of the funds available in every community. So Turner Valley, Red Deer Lake, and here. So that means $4,250 here, and if we can get that, the sooner we can apply to have a family here. And like Wendy said, we can all contribute little or much. I know some can't do any, and some can be more than $35. So Wendy's going to be at the table signing people up. She has the list of what we can sign up for to be on a team. But as a community, we have to do this, because if it's not the whole community participating in this and just a few people, the work will be heavy. And so this is our opportunity. We have a chance every day of our lives to make a difference in the world and to live our best lives, to take the opportunities we are afforded to be better people, because God calls us to that. And He calls us through the lessons we have learned in our lives. So let's do it together. Let's care for each other together and encourage each other along the road from darkness to light. I said at DeWinton last week, or just this morning, that somebody recently said to me, had been talking to some people who said, I'm not going to go to church, I won't go to church, because it's a bunch of hypocrites at church. Yep, I'll be the first one to put up my hand, I am. The only difference between maybe me and the person who thinks we're all hypocrites is I know it, and I work with other people in community to be better. That's why we're in community. Not because we're not hypocrites, not because we don't make mistakes, not because we don't have regrets, but because we're working together to be better. And we have a chance to do it as a community. I found this poem this week by a woman named Agnes Turnbull that I want to close with today, and it's about regrets. She says, "There is only one thing about which I shall have no regrets when my life ends. I have savored to the full all the small daily joys, the bright sunshine on the breakfast table, the smell of the air at dusk, the sound of the clock ticking, the light rains that start gently after midnight, the hour when the family came home, Sunday evening tea before the fire. I have never missed one moment of beauty, not ever taken it for granted, spring, summer, autumn, or winter. I wish I had failed as little in other ways." God calls us to take our regrets and turn them into lessons that will help us to live better lives in the future. I once heard a preacher say, "Turn your scars into stars." That's what we need to do. As we ponder what we have heard today, as we think about those lessons that we have learned in our lives, we now turn to a time of prayer. If you wish to light a candle for a concern you have, or a celebration you have, or a person or a situation